brother.
All right, Psalm 80, verses 8 through 15 say this. You brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it. It took deep root and filled the land. The mountains were covered with its shade, the mighty cedars with its branches. It sent out its branches to the sea and its shoots to the river. Why then have you broken down its walls so that all who pass along the way pluck its fruit? The boar from the forest ravages it, and all that move in the field feed on it. Turn again, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven and see. Have regard for this vine, the stock that your right hand planted, and for the son whom you made strong for yourself. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. Why don't you turn and say hello to somebody on your way down. Introduce yourself. All righty, you can go ahead and have a seat. Listen, we have a lot of folks here, but one of our values is that we want people to be known and to know one another. And so we never want it to be where you just come in and go out. We want you to be known by somebody, and we want you to know somebody. So thank you for taking a moment there. This week I was reading about a disciple of the Apostle John. His name is Polycarp. Polycarp was the bishop of the town of Smyrna, not like right down the road, but in Asia Minor. They're in Turkey today. It's known as Izmir today. He was the bishop of the church there. He was discipled personally by the Apostle John, and in the year 155, he was led to his death. He would not declare Caesar as king. And as he was being led to his death, the funeral pyre, he was going to be burned at the stake. As he was going, the governor of the region began to cry out to him and call out to him to mock him and said, Polycarp, repent. If you will but reproach your king, Christ, you might yet live. Polycarp responded to him by saying, 86 years I have followed my king, and he has done me no harm. Today I will not turn. He continued in that, and he said, this pyre that you've built will be extinguished in 1 hour. It will burn out in 1 hour. But the flames that are reserved for you and those who do not follow my king will burn for eternity. I'm going to tell you, as someone who desires that kind of strength, I pray, Lord, if I've ever put in a situation, I could have that kind of strength. That's like motivating. Wow, Lord, God. This was a man who was in Christ. He was connected to the Lord, connected to Jesus through the Apostle John. He walked with him. He read the word. He was involved in the community. Today, as we finish up, and again, I keep saying finish up, and the reason I keep saying that is that I'm going to jump ahead to the last I am statement in John 15. This is chronologically the last one. Next week, we're going to finish up with one back in chapter 11, but this week, we're going to bump up to chapter 15, and we're going to look at chronologically, the last I am statement. If you're a guest today, the I am statements of Jesus, there's 7 of them in the book of John. And whenever Jesus says, I am, he is declaring equality with God. This is what he's doing. You're going, how does he do that? Well, I don't have time. I need you to go back and look at a couple of the other messages online so that you can see that. So he's declaring that he is equal with God. You remember from last week, John 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. It's one long discourse on the night prior to Jesus being crucified the next morning. So in reality, if you will, these are Jesus's last words to his disciples before he is to be crucified. And you've probably heard it said, I've heard it said, that last words are important words. If you've ever been with someone on their deathbed, you're leaning in and you want to hear what it is that they have to say. Jesus is not on his deathbed, but this is it. And obviously it has made an impression on the Apostle John, because the language that he uses here in these four or five chapters, you begin to see in 1st and 2nd and 3rd John, the books that he wrote. You see some of that same language in the gospel, in the book of Revelation, the Apocalypse. He was impressed. He was marked. He was stamped with these words. And here Jesus is on the night that he is to be betrayed. If you remember, Judas has already bailed. Jesus said, listen, one of you is going to go. He's troubled in his spirit. One of you is going to go, and you're going to sell me out for 30 pieces of silver. By the way, I'm leaving. You're not going to be able to find me. You're going to look for me. You're not going to find me, but I'm going to go away, and I'm going to come back again. Oh, yeah, by the way, Peter, the leader, you say you would die for me. You will, but tonight you're going to deny me three times. This is the scene here. Death, denial, depression. What am I doing? What's happening? Jesus is leaving us. What's going on? And into that, Jesus speaks some words. And the words that he's speaking in John 15, verses 1 through 11, which is what we're going to read in just a few moments, John 15, 1 through 11, he is recalling and he is saying to them, hey, I am the true and better vine. That's what we're going to read about. He's remembering, I believe, Psalm 80 that Heath just read. He's remembering Isaiah 5 and 7. He's remembering passages in Jeremiah. He's remembering Ezekiel 15 and 17. And he's remembering where God said, listen, I've brought out a choice vine from a foreign country, my chosen people. I've set them, Israel, on a holy hill, and they're going to produce, they're supposed to produce choice grapes, choice fruit. But they didn't. They intermingled. There was a wild vine that came in, and they intermingled. That wild vine produced sour grapes, bad grapes. The psalmist writes back to God in 80, why have you torn down the walls of the vineyard that you planted? Why have you let the briars and the thorns come in? Why have you let the wild boars come in? This is in the background of what Jesus is about to speak in John 15, 1 through 11. And Jesus is saying here to them, I am the true vine. I'm the fulfillment of what Israel was supposed to be, where they were going to be the choice fruit. I am God's chosen one. I'm the chosen one. And in the midst of all of that, he's going to tell them how to survive what's coming. That's where we are. So look with me at John 15, beginning in verse 1. John 15, verse 1, Jesus says, I am the true vine. He's going to repeat himself in verse 5. Remember, he does this a lot when we're talking about these I am statements, because he doesn't want them to forget. He wants to clarify them. So in John 15, 1, he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. So just so that we're real clear, this vineyard, my Father owns it, and I am the vine. I am the choice vine. I'm the one. And then he's going to give them two evidences. All right? He's going to give them two evidences of what it looks like if you are in Christ. You know, we talk about being Christians. That word is only used in the scripture maybe 5-6 times. If for someone who is a follower of Jesus Christ, the New Testament language is in Christ. You are in him. You are in him. Today, as we read the rest of this section in verses 2 through 11, I want you to be listening. I want you to be listening for words that repeat. Will you do that? I want you to be listening for words that repeat, because there are several here. Because what John does, this is what John does. John takes a thought and he stacks on top of that thought. And then he stacks on top of that thought. And then he stacks on top of that thought. This is why I repeat. I'm just trying to do what John did, just to be real honest with you. He repeats himself because he's driving home a point. And he gives these two evidences because they're not anything that you can't work them up. You can't work them up. You realize that you and I cannot work for any right standing before the Lord God. The only right standing that we have is what Jesus was about to go do, to be crucified. His life laid down on a cross because we owed a debt we couldn't pay. He paid the debt that we couldn't never pay because it would take a perfect person to die. No one was perfect except for Jesus, so he died on our behalf. This is what Jesus is pointing them towards. And you and I, as much as we want to do good works, we want to give a lot of money, we want to help the poor, we want to go on these trips, all of these things, they're good things, but you realize we can't work our way in. We can't do that. So what are the two evidences? Here are the two evidences that only the Holy Spirit of God, if you are in Christ, here's the two evidences. The first one is this, is that it's bearing. The second one is abiding. It's bearing. You're going to see bearing fruit and abiding. These are the two evidences. So let's start with the first one. Bearing fruit only comes from the true vine. I want to make sure that you hear this. Bearing fruit. True fruit only comes from being connected to the true vine. Look at verses 2 through 5. How about that? Every branch in me, you better listen to that. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me. And I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. Are you hearing words that are repeating here? Just want to make sure. Okay? I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. In all of these seven I am statements, all these pictures, Jesus is giving word pictures. He's using metaphor because he wants to use things that they can begin to understand, because what he's trying to get them to see is who he is. And today he wants you to understand who he is. He says, I am the true vine. In fact, he closes that by saying, apart from me, you can't do anything. Now, what he means by that is not that you can't do literally nothing. You can do nothing of eternal good. You can give money to the United Way. You can give money to your schools. You can help people. You can go volunteer in the county. Those are good things, but they're not eternally good things. Only eternally good things happen when we are in Christ and we are abiding in him. This is what Jesus is speaking right here. Notice in verse 2 what he says. Verse 2, he says, those who don't bear fruit are thrown away, and those who do bear fruit are pruned. Anybody ever pruned a plant? Taking the shear? I would be thinking, man, if you're clipping on me like that, that's going to sting a little bit. But I also don't want to be thrown away. So what is it that Jesus is saying here? What Jesus is saying here is he's drawing a distinction between the one who left, Judas, and the 11 who are still sitting here. John's going to say back over in the book of 1 John near the end, he says, though if you're truly a part of us, you don't leave. And if you leave, you're never truly a part of us. What he's not saying is that if you are a branch connected to him and you do not bear fruit, then he's going to throw you away, because that is the antithesis of what Scripture teaches. John's already told us in John chapter 10, I believe it's verse 28, that nothing can snatch you out of my hand. And I'm in the hand of the Father. So you cannot be snatched out of his hand. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8 that there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. So I want to be really clear up front right here. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ and you are a branch connected to the vine, you've submitted your life to Jesus Christ, he's not cutting you off and throwing you to fire. What he's saying here, though, is that there is one who was a part of us, who left us, and he was never a part of us. He tried to attach himself. He was around the things of Jesus. And I want you to think about this, because there are people in churches all across this county today, maybe you're even one of them, who you've attached yourself to a church, you're dancing around, you're involved in good things, you try to be here, you try to walk good, but you don't see eternally good fruit. The Scripture is very, very clear here. And I want to make sure and say this. In many of your Bibles, it's in red. That means Jesus spoke it. That's how they try to delineate that somewhere. And it says this in verse 2. He says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. So Judas, who was in the 12, but denied him, betrayed him, walked away from him. This is why the scripture talks about us persevering to the end. If you don't persevere to the end and you walk away, then it wasn't that you lost your salvation, or I think I just don't want it anymore. It's that you never had it to begin with. Okay? Because if you are in the hand of Jesus and Jesus is in the hand of God, nothing can snatch you away. Now, he's got a word for us that are not being fruitful but are branches, and I want you to hang on there. But notice what he says. He says that we can only bear fruit. It's very true, though, that Jesus in Matthew chapter 7 in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' sermon, Matthew chapter 7, verse, I believe it's 21, 22, right in that area. He said, in the last day, there's going to be those who come to me and say, Lord, Lord, didn't I do this in your name? 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 And I'm going to say to them, depart, I never knew you. That is proof from the Lord Jesus Christ that it bounce around. Ooh, just, I'm going to be a part of this. I'm going to be a part of this, but never be a part of him. Listen, I hope this building is full every service, and it almost is. I hope at Easter, I hope we overrun the student union building. But I'm going to tell you, it's not about getting people in the church. It's getting people in Christ. That's what we want. I want you in Christ. And those who are in Christ will never be thrown away. Never be thrown away. Okay? Thanks be to God. You're going to hear me say this again. Thanks be to God that none of us have to be perfect. There are days I am a terrible fruit bearer. My wife will tell you. Okay? But we're not going to be thrown away because I am a branch connected. Now I'm expected to bear fruit. Expected to bear fruit. There's a huge, we have an ivy. I like green plants. We have an ivy at my house that is in our sunroom. It's like overtaking our sunroom. And I want it to keep going and keep going and keep going. But you know, weekly you have to go around and I'll find these yellow leaves that are down. And if it takes a couple of weeks, we're not doing that. They'll be brown and crispy. You know what I do with them? I pick them up. I throw them out. Throw them out. This is what Jesus is saying to us here. Notice what he says in verse 3. Jesus tells his disciples who are left in the room, this is how we know. He tells the disciples who are left in the room, he says, you're already clean. Look at verse 3. He says, already you are clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. What? What is he saying here? You remember back in 13 when Jesus is going to wash the disciples' feet and Peter, big mouth Peter, he says, not my feet. You can't wash my feet. If you're going to wash, then you got to wash my whole body. And Jesus says, Peter, listen, you're already clean. The one who is clean doesn't need to have everything washed. You're already clean. It's just your feet. We didn't wash our feet. And Jesus gave a demonstration of serving. So what Jesus is reminding them here, you 11 who are still left, Judas who left, you're already clean. Now I'm telling you, you need to bear fruit and you need to abide in me. This is what he's wanting them to get across. So in verse 4, he starts talking. Look again at verse 4. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the branch, in the vine, neither can you, neither can I, unless you abide in me. Notice in verse 5. Look at verse 5, the end of it. He says, apart from me, you can do nothing. So what is the fruit? What is he talking about when he's talking about the fruit and that we're to be fruitful? What is it that he's talking about here? I have to tell you, he's not talking about your good works. He's not talking about your good works. What he's talking about, Paul elaborates in Galatians. Turn over to the book of Galatians in the last Galatians chapter 5. Turn over to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, down around verse 22, I believe it is. 22 and 23. Somebody will come and correct me in a few moments. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. But the fruit, you hear this? But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness, goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. What is that fruit that we're to be bearing? There it is right there. Do you know how someone, listen, when Christ comes, he changes our life, he saves us, he gives us a heart transformation. We are transformed from the inside out. And what he tells us here is this, is that the fruit of our life will look like this. It's going to be loving, joyful, peaceful, patient, kindness, goodness. There's going to be full of faithfulness. It's going to be gentleness. There's going to be self-control. Listen, this is where I fail. There are days when I lack great self-control. You can tell. Or gentleness. I'm angry. And you know what happens with me? My gentleness goes out the door and my anger rises. You know what happens oftentimes with me? It's with the people that it should never happen with. My family, my friends, my close coworkers. Surely I'm not the only person who deals with this. Listen, but does this mean, won't you hear this? Does this mean that I am a branch that should be thrown away? No. Thanks be to God. There's only one who was perfect, and he died on a cross so that I don't have to be, so that you don't have to be. I'm thankful to him so that when I am not this fruitful person that I want to be, I can turn. Father, I know that I've sinned. I know that I'm not living in a way, but thanks be to you, God, for your son Jesus who died on a cross, who gives me a right standing regardless of what I do, because I've given you my life. I've surrendered and I've submitted. That doesn't give me the ability to live any way that I want to. He says, if I am a true branch, if you're a true branch, then you're going to be connected to the true vine and you're going to have true fruit. He says, apart from that, you can do nothing. Listen, you can give money, you can serve in the community, but it will have eternally no value unless it is in the name of Jesus Christ as a follower of his. Some of you, you're going to take that hard. You're going to be thinking about this for a little bit of time. You're going to be thinking about it. Does that mean that as a Christian, I can't be involved in the United Way? No, you should be, but you should be bringing the fruit of your life to the United. Listen, because there is a heart change in our lives, because we are now joyful and loving and peaceful and gentle and kind, when you step, your heart's been transformed. So if you're in your home, you're in your workplace, you're on the ball field, this is what we exhibit. And you guys know, I know, there are very few people exhibit this. So that when we exhibit this fruit, people look and go, they see your light. And they say, there's something different about you. You're not trying to hide your fruit. You're not trying to hide your light. You put it on a stand. So you live this out. This heart transformation is lived out. Did you realize that an apple tree is going to produce apples and that an orange tree is going to produce oranges? You're not getting a persimmon off a grapevine. You're not going to get a pineapple off an orange tree. So that when you produce the fruit, when you are bearing the fruit of the true vine, people are going to go, something different about you. And at that moment, you get to identify with the vine. Okay, if you're following me right now with this word picture, I need somebody to say amen, shake your head, wave a hand. So you get it. I told Heath y'all were smart people. Listen, this is what he's saying. He's saying if I'm the true vine, no matter what happens in the next 5 to 10 hours, they're going to flog me. They're going to put me on a cross. I'm going to be crucified. But if you're abiding in me, if you are in me, if you're a true branch, you're going to be joyful. They didn't catch all. They didn't catch this in the moment. They were fearful. Yet in the days to come, here's what we know. They understood. Because we have it in word today. The living word spoke it. They begin to bear it. And they begin to write it. Here's the second evidence real quick. Not only if you're going to have true fruit, you're going to bear it from the true vine. You're also going to abide in the true vine. You're going to abide in the true vine. Notice what he says in verses 6 through 11. He says, if anyone does not Hey, keep circling and underlining, all right? He says, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. He's repeating himself. And the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. Only those who are not in him. He's talking about that last day. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. Look at 8. We listen to 7 a lot and want to repeat it, but look at what verse 8 says. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. By my counting, the word abide is 10 times in these 11 verses. Now, it's low math, but if I counted right, I think it's 10 times. I believe in me, in my, is about 10 times also. What is being talked about right here? Jesus is saying, listen, when I tell you to abide in me, I'm telling you to remain in me. Do not depart from me. Hey, boys, listen. You just saw he left. Judas is gone. He was not a part of us. Remain in me. Don't abide in me. If you abide in me, just like... Now, he's about to start talking about a concept called mutual union. And what he says here is he says this. He says, listen, just as I abide in the Father and the Father abides in me, union. And just as I'm abiding in you, then you're abiding in me. How does he abide in us? By the power of the Holy Spirit. And then he expands that in verse 7. Look what he says in verse 7. He says, not only if you follow me, then you're going to obey my word, the word of God. Listen, I'm in the Father, the Father's in me, I'm in you, and you're in me, and not only are you in me, but my word is in you. Do you see how he's stacking all this up? And he says this, you want to prove that you are abiding in me, then you obey my word. If you abide in me, you're going to obey my word. Listen, you're not going to worry about trying to figure out how to will some fruit up. Oh, produce a grape. Oh, man. No, listen. Do you know what happens? When you abide in him, as the Father abides in Jesus, and Jesus abides in the Father, and I abide in him, the Holy Spirit is indwelling me, abiding in me, and I'm abiding in his word, I become loving and joyful and peaceful and patient. Not always. Not always, because I'm not perfect. Jesus is the only one who's perfect. But as I am exhibiting that fruit, and the only way I can exhibit that fruit is to abide in him, to remain in him. Do you know if I take 2 or 3 days off from walking with Christ, you're gonna know it. Do you know if I walk away from him for 6 months and you need to fire me, all right? You need to find you a new pastor. But it's going to start showing really quick. It's going to start showing. And as I abide in him, I'm not willing up fruit. Fruit begins to bear, because you know what happens? Apple trees don't try to bear apples. They just bear apples. You know why? Because a healthy branch connected to it, the trunk of the tree is going to do what it should do. It's going to do what it should do. You're trying to figure out how to be more loving and how to be more joyful and how to be more gentle. That's what I'm trying to figure out. You know what? The more I'm abiding... The more I'm remaining, the more joy, the more love, the more gentle, the more gentleness, the more faithful. I don't have to try to bear it. I have to abide, because when I abide, I bear. And I don't do it. It's the Holy Spirit in me. It's the Holy Spirit. I have nothing to claim. I can't bring anything to this. Well, I did. You know what I brought? I brought my sinfulness. And I gave it to Jesus, and Jesus gave me his righteousness. So that now then I can be fruitful. Okay, If you're with me and you're catching this word picture, stacking and stacking, can you say amen? I got you. Hey, okay, you know where we are. You know. So here's the real question then. Let me ask a couple questions here. A couple questions that might be swirling right now. What do I do if I don't desire the church? What do I do if I don't feel convicted by sin? What do I do if I don't want to read his word? What do I do if I don't want to tell others about Christ? Well, if that is you, you're probably not in Christ. You're probably not in Christ. And I want to tell you, he's brought you here today, not by accident, not by happenstance. He's brought you here so that you might receive Christ and be in him. That's why you're here. That's why you're here. He's brought you here for that. So that you're hearing the gospel that I talked about a little while ago, about the man who died for us because we couldn't do it. You've heard the gospel, and he's brought you here for that. And he is stirring in you, just like the questions have been stirring. He's stirring in you right now. And your response to that stirring will prove whether or not he's your good shepherd and you're one of his sheep. That's what's going to prove that. Some of you may be in here and you go, oh, I'm a branch. Listen, I remember when I came to Christ, but I still don't feel like I'm not doing what I know I should be doing. Can I tell you, in good company, Paul said he struggled with that at times. Thanks be to God that only Christ is the perfect one. That is not a license. Romans 6, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin so that grace may abound? No, Paul says. No. Lord, you've revealed this to me. And Father, all these things that I'm like really stinking in today goes back to I'm not abiding in you today. Look with me, if you will, okay? My goodness, I'm gone. But I got to say this. We got to look at this. Look, notice what he says in 8 or in 7. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. That's not name it and claim it. That's not Creflo Dollar, Joyce Meyer. That's not whoever. You know what that is right there? That is the fact that you are abiding in Christ with him. You're bearing fruit. You know what that means? You're becoming more like him. So you know what kind of prayers you're going to pray? Amen. Prayers that honor Jesus. Prayers that he will answer. And did you see what it said? He said, when you do that and the Lord God answers your prayers, he's glorified and it proves that I'm a disciple of Christ. He is not probably going to answer that new F-250 you're desiring. Just probably not going to do it. Okay? But if we start saying, Lord God, make me holy. I want to be a more loving person. I want to abide in you. Make me joyful. Give me gentleness in my home and in my workplace. I'm not talking about men, you becoming a woman. I'm talking about you being a man and being gentle in your work. Not walked on, but I'm strong. I can stand, but I can also be gentle in this. I respond. That's a prayer that he wants to answer. This is a prayer he says he will answer. Okay, so let's say this. Let's say right now you've got one who says, I don't have a desire at all. May not be a follower of Christ. Maybe I do have a desire. The fact that you have a desire says that you're a branch. Because if you don't have a desire, you're not a branch. But let's say that you do have a desire, but you're just finding out that you're not real fruitful. But I'm not fruitful. Well, here's the thing. Thanks be to God. I keep saying that because it's all him, that you are a branch, but you may be a diseased or a stunted branch. And you remember what verse 2 says? Branches that don't bear fruit, that aren't in him, he throws away. But the branches that are true in him, in the true vine, you're a true branch in the true vine, he's going to prune you. I need to tell you, get ready. Because you know why he does that? It's not punishment. Pruning isn't punishment. Pruning is discipline. Pruning is so that you become more faithful. Listen, there's one thing I can do at home in the garden, and I can cut something back. I know how to do that really well. How to strategically prune, maybe not. But you know, every time we strategically prune, why'd you laugh about that? Every time we prune rightly, do you know what happens to those plants and bushes and things? It's like it just grows. Hebrews chapter 12. Everyone turn over. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 7. 7 through 11. He talks about discipline. And I want to take just a minor liberty here. It is not untrue to the scripture. I want you to replace, I'm going to read discipline. I want you to hear pruning. Will you do that? It is for discipline that you have to endure. It's for pruning that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons, and may I say daughters. For what son is there, Hebrews 12, 7 through 11, for what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we've had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but he, God, disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline, all pruning seems painful rather than pleasant. But later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Your pruning shows that you're a true branch in the true vine and that he loves you enough that he's not going to leave you right where you are. Now, if you don't mind, I want you to go back over to John. I'm out of time, but I'm not quitting yet, all right? John chapter 15, I want you to see this. And I'm going to give you a running application here because I need you to catch this. John chapter 15, verse 4, Jesus tells us that if I abide in Jesus and Jesus abides in me, it leads to, in verse 5, much fruit. You want to be a fruitful follower of Christ, then you better begin to abide in him. And when I abide in him and it leads to fruit, then that leads to verse 7, because of my union with Christ, my prayers are answered. And as my prayers are answered, God is glorified, and it gives more proof that I'm abiding and bearing fruit, that I'm his, I'm his disciple. This is what Jesus said, not me. It's what Jesus has said. And by that, he is glorified. Look at verse 10. Verse 10, he says this. He says, as the Father loves Jesus and Jesus obeys him, and him obeying the Father shows his love, and then it says, then Jesus is abiding in us, and we're abiding in him, and how we show our love is then that we obey him. Folks, this is all union. Jesus in God, God in Christ, Christ in us in him, his word alive in us, the Holy Spirit indwelling us, we're going to bear fruit. Quit trying to work it up, will it up, and abide in Jesus. Abide in Christ. You're trying to beat porn, abide in Christ. Get brothers and start abiding with brothers who will call you up. Abide in Christ. You want to quit doing whatever? You're worried about my finances? Get with brothers and you start abiding in Christ and doing it the way of Christ. You're worried about your relationships? Abide in Christ. Get with people who love Jesus, who they're walking with God. They have marriages and relationships you want to emulate. Abide in Christ and abide with brothers. I don't know what else to tell you. This is what the word of the Lord tells us. And you know why Jesus told them, his disciples, this? Look, verse 11 says, I've told you this so that my joy might be complete and in you, and that you then might have joy. Remember, someone just is betraying me. Peter, you're going to deny me 3 times. I'm leaving. I'm going to be crucified tomorrow. But if you abide in me, here, this is a secret to life. Here's the secret to following me. If you abide in me, my joy will reside in you. And I'm not going to leave you without comfort because I'm sending my spirit to indwell you. So today, Jesus invites you to come to him, to hear the gospel, to know the gospel. In fact, to know him. He is the good news of the gospel. Today, he asks you, are you abiding? If you're not bearing fruit, you're probably not abiding. Here's how we're going to close. Where's the worship team? Y'all, come on. I want your worship team, come on. Here's how we're going to close today. They're going to sing over you and me. And I'm going to ask that you abide for just a moment. I'm going to ask you to remain, not to depart. And I'm going to ask you, would you ask the Lord, God, is there something in my life that's not, I'm not bearing fruit? Why is that? Is it that I don't care anything about you? Is it that I'm stunted, I'm diseased? Lord, I need you to prune an area of my life. I don't even know where it is, but you do. Would you prune that? Lord, I want to be fruitful for your kingdom, because as you identify with the true vine and people are asking you about why you're so different because you look different than everyone else, you have the opportunity to say, Jesus has changed me, and this is just what people who abide in Christ look like. I know that's not simple, but I can tell you when you're abiding in Christ, it does become more simple. So as they sing over us, this isn't just the time to listen to a song. This is a time to listen to the Spirit, to speak to Him. Where do I need pruning today? What? Save me. Maybe you call it save me. Zeke, won't you come? Father, I love you. I ask that you would do your work in this room today, because nothing that I do is of any worth apart from you. So Spirit, have your way in this room today. In Jesus' name, amen.